please turn in your scriptures with me or follow along on the screen or your Bible apps or a pew Bible in front of you, whatever form of scripture you have with you this morning, please turn to Luke's gospel, and we'll be reading from chapter 2, and I'll begin at verse 7 and then read on through the end of verse 20. And it's called The Shepherds and the Angels. And she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room in the inn. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." And when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what they had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. May God add blessing and understanding to the reading and hearing of his word. Well, the telling of the Christmas story is something that we do each and every year. It becomes familiar. Perhaps even becomes rote because it's such a common story. It's something that's familiar to each and every one of us, especially if we have been part of a church family our whole lives. We've heard repeatedly the story about Jesus and his birth. And each year we take a look at the various characters and the various themes of the stories and the places and the events that transpired around the birth of our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ. And so with that annual repetition and the familiarity of the story, and especially as it relates this morning to one of the key groups of the Christmas story, the shepherds, I want to challenge you to listen with fresh ears. I want to encourage you this morning to hear as if it were for the first time that you're hearing about Jesus and his birth, and what the shepherds did as a result, and just how amazing this entire incident was. I want to challenge you to think about the fact that God, in his wisdom, could have made this announcement to anyone, anywhere in the entire world. He could have made it to King Herod. You would think that the birth of the Savior of the world, the birth of someone who they thought was going to overthrow the government, might be worthy of being announced to a king. But no, that was not the case. Perhaps you might think that, well, it should take place in some kind of a religious setting, perhaps in the temple, and that the birth of Jesus would then be celebrated and announced by the high priest within the temple, and all the people would have gathered around to worship him and praise this wonderful birth. But that is not what happened. That is not what happened at all. Instead, we have trouble understanding why. Why it was that God chose this ragtag bunch of shepherds, these stinky, smelly, low-down bunch of guys that hung out with sheep, why God chose them above kings and high priests to share this good news. I want you to hear this very clearly. Of all the people that God could have made an invitation to attend this glorious event, the only invitation that he gave was to these shepherds. Think about all the Christmas story, other than Mary and Joseph, of course. This was the only invitation. Yeah, the wise men saw the star and they followed the star, but this was a, no mistake about it, invitation that was given to these shepherds. At best, the shepherds were just ordinary folk. They were people that had a job that worked round the clock. Many of you can identify with that. Many people are on the clock. They were not the socially elite that you might equate with someone like Jesus being born, the Savior of the world, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. They weren't those, he didn't announce it to those kinds of people either. Most likely these shepherds were out tending their flocks, as we say in the hymn, on their fields by night. We don't know when it was exactly, but there they were, out tending their sheep, watching over them. Why were they doing that? They were protecting them from natural predators. They were protecting them from thieves. They were making sure that they were nourished, that they were taken care of. This was the job of the lowly shepherd. These were the last possible people on earth that you might imagine that God would have announced the birth of his son. But yet, he chose them. The last people that you would think. In fact, they were probably even lower than the leper. You remember the story of the lepers and how they had to distance themselves and how they were far apart from society. The shepherds were likely even lower than them. But I believe that in this scripture passage, there is great truth for each and every one of us. I believe that there is an awesome truth that we need to hear afresh and anew this Christmas season, and we need to remind ourselves throughout the year. The first thing is that they learned that everyone was important to God. Right off the bat, in verses 7 through 9, we realize that this invitation comes to the most despised people, the lowliest of people, the outcasts, the people that are not respected by society. These are the very people that God chose to bring the news of Jesus' birth to. Their honesty and their integrity was very questionable. In fact, it was so much so that they weren't even allowed to testify in a court of law. They weren't trusted. Shepherds were so far down the list of social outcasts. I believe that God chose the shepherds for a very special reason. Because he wanted to show us that all people were welcome at the table. All of us, all people are welcome at God's table. He wanted to show us that his love was not just for a select few, not just for the elite, not just for the learned, not just for the powerful, not just for the educated. It was for all people. Not just people, but all people. Because God was no respecter of persons. He does not show respect to those who are kings and who want to be kings. And who put their names on everything. You may think that if God is even aware of you, you might be that person. Wondering if God is even aware of who you are this morning and that you even exist. You may wonder this morning if God even has a favorable opinion of you. But deep down, a lot of people feel that way. But the message of the good news of Jesus Christ and his birth is a message that proclaims that he is for all people. No matter how insignificant you may feel, no matter how insignificant someone may say that you are or that you're not important or that you can't be used, Think of this story. Think of the many stories within the scriptures that remind us that God chooses the lowly over the proud every single time. Deep down, you may feel like he doesn't think about you, but God knows you. He knows you by name. He knew you before you were born. He knows the number of hairs on your head. He knows all about you. He knows your heart. And you are important to him. This church is important to him. Secondly, the shepherds learned that God's wonderful news was for all who believe. For all who believe. You realize right off the bat that the angel that appears, and if you do your research, even in this book in chapter 1 and other gospels as well, you find out that the angel that is the one speaking here is Gabriel. Now, in this story, he meets the immediate need of the shepherds. And what is that immediate need? When an angel appeared before them, the scripture said that they were greatly afraid, or they were very afraid. I think the proper translation, and more closely with what really happened, is it says in some versions, and I think this is accurate, that they were terrified. They were scared to death. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and an angel spoke to them and told them of this news, and they were greatly, terribly afraid, as any normal human being would be. The angel of the Lord, Gabriel, spoke to their immediate need, and that immediate need was fear not. You have nothing to fear. What is your immediate need this morning? I know the needs as I look around this congregation very well, for I've known you for a lot of years, and we've shared a lot of things together. But maybe this Christmas you're filled with fear, some way or another. Fear about your health. Fear about your finances and how you're going to pay for Christmas when it comes due in January. Fear about family, about your job, or about security, where the next paycheck's going to come from. You're worried about the economy. You're concerned about the world and all that's going on. This morning, the answer for you is that the message of the angel was that he brought good tidings of great joy for all. Good tidings of great joy for all. Now, that does not mean that you might not struggle financially, that you might have hard times, that the world may continue to be a mess, that you continue to be fearful. But always remember the message of the angel who reminded the shepherds and reminds us through the Gospels that he is the good news, that he will be with us always and he will never leave us or forsake us, and he'll be with us to the very end of the age because Jesus was born. Scripture has been fulfilled. Christ is Lord of all. Notice, too, in this scripture, in this good news, that he said this will be for all people. And I've referenced this already, but it's so important because he didn't come for just a few. He didn't come for just a certain region or geographical place in this country or in this world. He came for every single one of us, regardless of who we are and where we come from and how we speak and how we look and what our politics are. He came for every single one of us. We are the reason that he came. All people. Jesus came, though, to die for our sins and to give us freedom from sin and to give us that freedom from death that is coming for each and every one of us. That freedom of eternal separation. Now that we can be combined with Jesus, we can come together with Jesus. That's why he came. And the angel's reassurance that they need not be afraid goes on to say, and suddenly, if one angel wasn't enough, get ready. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. One angel is enough. But man, when you think about a multitude of the heavenly host, we're not talking 50, we're not talking 150, we're not talking 1,500, we're talking a multitude of the heavenly host, perhaps stretching from one end of the horizon way all the way to the other end. And now they all appear before these shepherds, but hey, who's counting? There's so many of them. It's amazing, this event in history, that all of God's angels, all of the heavenly host came. It's reminiscent of what happened in creation, which is spoken of in the book of Job, chapter 38, verse 7, where it says, the angels sang together and all the angels shouted for joy when the world was created. And now this heavenly host, this magnitude of people, these angels coming together, praising God. What a beautiful part of the Christmas story. And yet there was a sign. There was a sign for them to watch. Always be watching for that sign. The sign to the shepherds is that they will find a baby. That they will find him wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. Yes, that's wonderful news. It's wonderful news for all who believe. Third, they learned how to respond to the invitation of God. That makes all the difference. They could have doubted. They could have said, man, what have you guys been eating? Because I'm seeing these angels out here. This ain't right. This isn't happening, is it? Something's not right. Something's off here. They could have analyzed it, you know, come together and try to rationalize it, put logic to it, put science to it, try to figure it out. Could they begin to ask themselves questions like, can we really afford to leave the sheep? What's going to happen to them? That's our livelihood. What are we going to do about that? Something's going to come along and take these sheep away. What if something happened while they were gone and they start talking and talking and talking? Sounds like some church meetings I've attended through the years. We talk ourselves out of things. We talk ourselves out of believing and allowing God to do his thing and just let him go. And follow along. And that's what these shepherds did. We can talk ourselves out of responding in faith so easily. But God said to these shepherds, they needed to go. And here's what your sign is. They could have overanalyzed this message. But they instead, the shepherds, they chose to believe. They chose to believe. And the belief of the shepherds in the message of the angel is shown in their words. Let us go and see this thing which has happened. Let us go and see. Not let us go and see if this thing really happened, but let us go and see. What might happen if we go and see? No, none of that. Let's go and see. They believed, and the scriptures, in fact, say they hurried off. They didn't mess around. They didn't waste time. They went and saw what God had done. My friends, it is never, ever, never, ever, never, ever, never good enough just to hear the gospel. Just to hear the message. There's a lot of preachers out there preaching a lot of stuff. Some of them are halfway decent. Some of them are terrible. It's never enough just to hear the message about Jesus. It's not enough just to look into the manger once a year at Christmas and set it up in your home with beautiful trees and lights and all the presents and all the food and all the parties and all the stuff that we equate with Christmas and look into the manger and come to church on Christmas Eve and say, "Oh, what a sweet, cute little baby Jesus." This touching scene might give us a good feeling. Lighting the candles and singing Silent Night around the church is a beautiful picture, and I love it every year, but it's not enough. The truth is that if Jesus were born in Bethlehem in a manger 1,000 times over and you didn't believe, it wouldn't be enough. It wouldn't be enough because you would be lost for eternity. You could get all sentimental and you could get all nostalgic and you can shed tears and they're meaningful and they hurt. And you can get all warm and fuzzy, that's a new word. Somebody coin that for me. I've said some interesting things from this pulpit over the past 14 years. That's a good one. I might write that one down. Warm and fuzzy. You can get all sentimental and fuzzy. But if Christ is not born in your heart, listen to me. Listen to me. If Christ is not born in your heart, what you're doing is making a mockery of the story. If Christ is not born in your heart, if you do not believe and accept the story through faith, all of it's just going through the motions. You are the reason that Jesus came. Fourth and finally, they learned that what you do with the good news is of great importance. Do you know who the first evangelists were? The shepherds. You know who one of the first evangelists was after Jesus rose? A woman. Sorry, guys. The first evangelists were these lowly shepherds. When we think of evangelists, I think of Billy Graham. He'll always be the best. I don't think of some stinky, smelly shepherds. They didn't emphasize what it was like to see an angel. Man, I saw these angels. Dude, you should have seen them. You know? It was amazing. And then all these other ones showed up. It was a party, man. No, nothing like that. They didn't say, "You should have heard this choir. I've never heard a choir like this in all my life." Not even the Mormon Tabernacle Choir 2,000 years from now is going to beat this. This is awesome. They didn't talk about that. They didn't talk about what they saw. They didn't talk about what they heard. Nor did they dwell on how scared to death they were. Their main interest was reporting, going and telling the good news, praising God for which had been told them concerning this child. It's not enough just to hear the story. It's not enough to talk about all the feelings that you have. It's about going and telling. And Jesus in his ministry and before he left the earth gave the great commandment to go into all the world. Tell people what you have seen and heard about Jesus. It's impossible to live in this world even for a few moments, and it's increasingly ridiculous the number of people that can influence others by putting something up on social media and asking them to like it or pay for it. You can influence somebody either for good or for bad. The last verse of our text for today says that the shepherds who had seen such wondrous signs, though, finally had to go back to the ordinary. For me, one of the saddest days of the year is December 26th, because it all ends. It seems that it all ends. The presents have been unwrapped, the dinners have been eaten, the hurry, the hustle, the bustle has concluded. The celebrating that the shepherds were doing was not just for artistic praise or spoken by the cultural, nor the quiet reflection of the scholar. They actually glorified God and they praised God. It was like, and this is me here, okay? It was like after two or three seasons of watching the St. Louis Cardinals losing and becoming more and more like the Cubs and waiting until next season. I never want to get comfortable in that. But it was as if next year in 2026, the Cardinals make an awesome comeback. They make it all the way to the World Series. And in the bottom of the ninth, with two on and two out, they hit a base hit up the middle, and the winning run scores, and the tie ball came, and the Cardinals are the 2026 world champions of baseball. That's the kind of celebration that I can relate to. This, of course, is much, much more than that. That's what these shepherds were doing. They were celebrating. It's the only kind of praising they knew. Now remember about these shepherds, these were guys. These were guys. They were crude. They were tough. They got their hands dirty. They didn't sit behind a desk in an air-conditioned office. These guys were salt of the earth dudes. That's who they were. But all they knew how to do was hoop and holler. Jesus was born and they had to go see. Being a shepherd was lonely. It was weary. It was boring. Tedious. There were some moments too of, I'm sure, great danger. But you know what kept the shepherds going? It was hope. That's why we celebrate Christmas, because it's hope. That's why on December 26th, we can continue, because that hope exists that we'll be there again next year. There's hope. God promised to his people in Old Testament times that one day he would send a Savior of the world and that he would be born of a Virgin Mary and that he would be the Savior of the world. That same God promised that he would come back again for us, the second advent of Christ, and he would come back for all of us, and that everything would be made right and everything would be made just. We have that hope, and that's why we continue on. That hope is found in Jesus. That's why we have Christmas. That hope burned in their hearts. That hope kept them going. How about you? Where's your heart this morning? Are you hopeless? Do you feel like nobody cares? Nobody's paying attention? You wonder if you can even keep going on some days. He's coming. He's coming. He's coming for all of us. Each and every one. And that day when he calls us home, there'll be a place of no more tears, no more pain, no more sorrow. This morning, I'm wearing a watch on my wrist that doesn't work. It doesn't tell time, doesn't keep the date or the day. but it belonged to a man that punched a clock for 25 years and provided for me and my brother and my mom. It's my dad's watch. He worked 25 years at a factory in Decatur, Illinois. And so I'm wearing that today because he gave me hope. He encouraged me to keep going on. And when I'd finished my high school diploma, he said, "Now when are you going to college?" And when I finished college, he said, "Now when are you going to get that degree?" When I got that, he wanted me to get the doctorate. Sorry, never did that. I tried, but just timing wasn't right. Anyway, he's coming back for all of us. My friends, this is it. It has been the greatest privilege of my life to serve as your pastor for these last 14 years. I mean that from the bottom of my heart. Your love and your support, your partnership in ministry has meant all the world to me. And I was reflecting on some of the things that we've done together. I think about that night in Bethlehem that we had in Fellowship Hall. We had over 200 people come through there, that first one that we did. I think about the time when the youth group was going strong and we had a good young man that was leading us for that. I think about CORE and the many lives that have been changed over these last 6-8 years, families working their way up out of poverty. I think about the Vacation Bible School Carnival that we had with great success, and many people came. The fun that we had at the park, praise and picnic in the park with the bounce houses, and I could still get into a bounce house and jump around and act like a fool. Ruth even put that picture on the cover of a bulletin. I thought that was pretty cool, Ruth. Thanksgiving dinners. And Doris Sugg made me dress up like an Indian, or I should say Native American, and Ruth and Jim as pilgrims. Think about the marriages, the communions, the baptisms, the child dedications, yes, the funerals, the special services that we've shared together, interns that we've had, our praise team, numerous fellowship on the go trips, salt group, chili giveaway, ringing the bells for Salvation Army and getting that call from Dan Jansen every year asking me if I wanted to be a ding-a-ling for another year. My colleagues at the Bond County Minister Alliance, we've got a good set of ministers in this community, God-fearing people that serve him proudly and humbly. Food packing events that we've been part of. The first and only and probably ever sabbatical that I will have ever had in my entire 35 years of ministry. This church gave me that gift. Thank you so very much. It's why I was able to stay all these years later. I promise you, it's very, very important. Give it to your next pastor too. Navigating COVID-19, oh my gosh, what a pain in the rear end that was. But you know what, we did it, and we have fond memories of it, and people still say, you know, can we worship outside? That was fun, and we had a blast doing that. We should do that. Do that again. Working through the change over the board structures was challenging, but we got it done. I think it was the right move for the church. But I really feel like I've given my all. I feel like I didn't have enough gas left in the tank to keep going for a few more years here. I feel God has prepared the next person for this position, and God has prepared you. We're stable. We get along. We love each other. We're serving our community. God will sustain you. God will be with you. He will be your friend. I will continue to pray that you mature in Christ, that you continue to serve as the hands and feet of Jesus Christ in this world and in this community, because, friends, you have made and you will continue to make a difference. People tell it to me all the time. In fact, just this last Wednesday, a woman walked up to me and said, "I have hope that I didn't have before because of this church." That's what we do. God is already preparing the next pastor of this church. That person will not be like me. And for some of you, you're thinking, thank God. They're going to bring different skills and different priorities to your church. Love them. Listen to them. Accept them. Do not compare them to me. They're not me. And I'm not them. Give them a chance. You're good at loving your pastor. You're great at loving your pastor. Keep doing that, regardless of who stands in this place. You are loved. You loved and accepted my family, even when my boys got in trouble. You little devils. Preacher's kids. Problem is, they hang out with the deacon's families. That's the problem. I love my family. I'm looking forward to spending more time with them. But you've loved my entire family. You've supported us. You've supported Patty in her various roles. And I know it's been different not having her here. You've been more than a congregation to me. You're family. This is a family-sized church. You're my family. You'll always be my family. You're my friends. And while I'll no longer serve as your pastor and have that role here, a piece of my heart will always be with you, each and every one of you. And I will be your biggest cheerleader from the sidelines, cheering you on, praying for your next pastor, praying for your interim, praying for you, that God will continue to do amazing and even better things than we've been able to accomplish. I believe your better days are still yet to come. May God bless you. May God be with you and give you peace and love and joy and hope. And thank you again so much for the great honor of being here for these past years. It's been a great joy to call Greenville my home. I love you all very much. Thank you.